Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Jeffrey Doherty as we talk about the Mandela effect. Are we truly in a different time warp? Very strange situation there. And biblical prophecy. All that next on Coast to Coast AM. Doherty with us. Jeffrey's website, of course, his name linked up at coasttocoastam.com. What else are you working on these days, Jeffrey?
George, I got a lot of interesting stuff going on, and I just wanted to mention something here real quickly that one of my Twitter followers just brought up, and we probably should state it for the interest of balance. I'm really humbled to have over 120,000 Twitter followers, and
wow,
Rebecca
great.
Says of the Mandela effect that, and this is representative of a great number of people, she says that she thinks it's a psyop and that the movies are being remastered and key dialogue is being changed just to freak people out and to mock us somewhat. So there is a lot of people that feel that way about it too. So I just wanted to kind of mention that in the way of balance. But Georgia, I'm kind of like the little engine that could, you know, I'm out there, you know, doing as much as I can, trying to speak at as many conferences as possible, at as many spiritual centers, trying to do as many YouTube videos, trying to get this message out. I appreciate you saying it's positive. We're trying to make a difference in the world. And like that little engine, I think I can, and we're just going to keep going.
You believe that good eventually is going to win out over evil, don't you?
I do, George, and I don't believe that out of some, you know, Pollyannic notion. I don't believe that out of some, you know, love and light, you know, frilly kind of New Age lack of clarity. I believe it because if you study the message of Jesus, who I call Yeshua, and study it objectively, that's what his message is, George. He came to give us peace that passes all understanding, and came to show us a way of life that leads not only to life, but to life more abundant. And George, to me, that sounds like good news.
Yes, it does. And we need good news these days, Jeffrey, don't we?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, absolutely, my friend.
Strangest
absolutely.
Times I've ever gone through in my life. How about you?
You know, we're not too far different in age, and it just seems like, George, back in the, you know, the late 60s, the 70s, life was so much simpler. It wasn't as mean. It wasn't as hard. It wasn't as rough. It wasn't as scary. And I tell you what, those of us that have lived for a while, and certainly those that have lived longer than we have, I think they would agree with you. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen, George.
All right, back to the calls now. David in Aurora, Colorado, first-time caller. No, he's west of the Rockies, actually. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi, George. A pleasure to be with you this morning.
Sure thing.
Yes, Jeffrey, my question to you is, I'm just curious what you think of this. I don't know if you caught wind of this vote that was taken in UNESCO yesterday that basically ruled that there was no Jewish connection to Jerusalem, and including the Temple Mount and the Wailing Wall, which, I mean, it's
ludicrous.
So absurd to me.
Yeah, ludicrous.
I mean, I haven't seen that report, David, but I'm very much inclined to go along with George. I mean, to make the statement that, you know, the Wailing Wall and the Temple Mount, which are, you know, central to the very lifeblood of Judaism, to say they have no connection to Judaism is, I don't know if you said ridiculous or preposterous, George, but I agree with you.
Ludicrous is what I said.
Ludicrous, absolutely.
It really is.
Well, I mean, it just falls into the continual denuding of any legitimacy that Israel has. It's
right.
Strictly political. There's no archaeological basis for it, because if they looked anywhere in archaeology, they could, you know, the answer is staring them in the face. I mean, the Arch of Titus, which is in Rome, has, you know, the symbol of the menorah being carted out of Jerusalem when Rome took Jerusalem in 70.
David, these are probably the same people who deny that the Holocaust even happened. You know what?
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at it was 24 countries for, 6 against, and 25 or 6 abstentions.
They didn't want to get involved.
The usual suspects on the pro side. I mean, a lot of Muslim countries and But it's so frustrating. And I've spent a good deal of time in Israel. I lived there. I was in the media there. And I've taken, you know, many tours and seen all the archaeology in it. And it's just, you know, to anybody who goes there and sees it, you know, you've got the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock sitting up on top, like little cake decorations. And then you've got four levels of Jewish history from the top down. Yet they claim that they were there first, and you just kind of scratch your head and go, okay, how'd that happen? There's so many examples of that, and I'm not sure how Israel ceded control of those holy sites to the what's called the Waqfa, which is the Jordanian and Palestinian mm-hmm. commission that's supposed to manage these sites, but they've been caught destroying artifacts, digging illegally and hiding artifacts, and it's just words fail me, and anyone who knows me would say that's never happened before, but words fail me.
Well, you're right,
David,
on, David.
It is ludicrous. I agree with George. You know, archaeologically, it's ludicrous, and it's certainly a slap in the face to our greatest ally in the Middle East.
So much history out there in the Middle East, Jeffrey. I mean, just
Absolutely.
Real history. I mean, just to be able to, I've never been there, but, you know, if you look at the historical Jesus in those kinds of events as history, not as religion, but as history, and to know that this individual walked that land, it's an amazing feeling, isn't it?
It is. And George, one of the greatest honors of my life, I was honored to serve 6 years in the United States Air Force. And when I was stationed in Rhein-Main Air Force Base in Germany, I was a crew chief on a C-130. And we had the honor and privilege to assist in the evacuation of Ethiopian Jews and taking them back or taking them to Israel. Israel, of course, gave them refuge. And
yeah.
to pick up those Ethiopian Jews and fly all the way from Ethiopia to Israel and listen to their stories and the Ark of the Covenant and their history and their culture. I'm literally sitting here, George, I get goosebumps just thinking of being a young Air Force guy and being the fly on the wall to such a historic event.
We've got Janet now in Charlottesville, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Janet.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
We're fine, thank you.
Good. Well, I'm a Jewish Christian, a believer in Yeshua. I was raised as Jew. And my pastor, Gary Dalton, former pastor, I have a different pastor now, but anyway, said that the prophecy in Daniel had already been fulfilled in ancient times past. And I was wondering what you thought about that. And also, I was wondering if the scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2 is also misconstrued.
Well, Janet, first of all, an early Shabbat Shalom to you, and thank you for listening to the show. And I would definitely agree with your pastor that many of the prophecies in Daniel have already been fulfilled, and specifically many of the ones in Daniel chapter 9 that relate to events that people think are going to be at the end of time, but I think were really fulfilled, and I think the textual viewpoint of them shows that they were fulfilled really at the destruction of Jerusalem. And I certainly agree with your pastor on that. And which verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 are you referring to, Janet?
Okay, she's gone now, Jeff.
Oh, she's gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure which verse she'd be talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:16 ties into the whole Antichrist thing, the whole Daniel thing, and really the whole alien agenda in the New Testament, George, where I think that what we call the classic rapture scriptures, you know, kind of set the table for what I call the Antichrist entity to kind of take over that persona of Jesus and come back as an imposter for a fake second coming as a last attempt to try to take over this planet and rule humanity.
We're getting a lot of emails and Facebook messages, Jeffrey, from people who believe that the Mandela effect may have started on this program back in the 90s.
Really?
With a couple callers who called in saying that Nelson Mandela had died in prison. Gosh, maybe it started here. Who knows, huh?
Isn't that something, George? You know what? As many times as you listen to Coast, and I am a Coast insider, I listen to it all day, you still hear things like that that just make you say, wow.
Yeah. International line, Mike is in Montreal in Canada. Hi, Mike. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Nice to talk to you again.
You too, Mike.
And to your guest, I had 2 points I wanted to make.
All right.
The Mandela effect, interestingly enough, both my wife and I firmly believe that Mandela died in prison. We're absolutely certain of it. We both remember it vividly. We're neither of us are idiots, although I've been working too hard today and my IQ is lower than it fell in a way.
Do you remember how you would have heard about that?
Yeah, I remember seeing it on the news. It was a big, big thing. There were bits running about it for days.
On television.
Coast to coast, Mike.
believe it or not, I did. We realized the Mandela effect before Coast to Coast, but I did hear the show. And as a matter of fact, Art did a listener poll where he had people who thought Mandela died in prison call in, and they were the yes, no, and it was... Oddly enough, maybe the Coast audience is a little odd, but it showed that the vast majority of people that called in said that Mandela died in prison.
That's right. What's so strange is you recall it on television.
Oh, vividly. Also, just to make a second point, friend, good friend of my wife's, is a political cartoonist called Aislinn. He's big in Canada. I don't know if you get him in the States. But Aislinn, we opened the newspaper one day, and there was his obituary, and he'd drawn his own drawing showing the Reaper standing over his grave and blah, 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 and there was a full-page obituary for him. We were both really shocked about that and sad because we hadn't heard anything about him being ill or whatever. And a few years later, they showed him on TV at some social event, alive and kicking.
What did you think?
Well, we were both completely baffled. Blown away. The one thing that we were kicking ourselves is that I wanted to take the cartoon he'd drawn for his obit. I wanted to cut it out, and I was actually considering laser copying it up and framing it. And I kicked myself. I thought, that's kind of ghoulish, and I didn't bother doing that.
Right.
I had a third experience that's not nearly as interesting, so I'll just leave that out.
Did you think maybe there was a double put in or something?
With Mandela, it almost seems like a possibility to me, although I don't really see it. I can't really see a good, valid point to doing it, especially for the length of time. No, I don't think so.
All right. But you would swear up and down you saw this on television. They announced he was dead for a couple days.
Yeah, and in the newspapers.
Wow.
I swear on my mother's grave.
That is amazing. So how do you explain that, Jeffrey? My gosh.
You know, again, I was not affected by that. I remember Mandela, you know, getting out of prison, being the president of South Africa. But, George, this is the thing. When you hear, you know, well-spoken, obviously professional, obviously educated people like Mike.
He's not making it up. Sure. He actually believes he saw it on television.
He actually saw it. And I, as to the cartoonist, I'm reminded of Mark Twain's famous quip, the news of my death has been greatly exaggerated. But this is the thing that made it impossible for me to dismiss the Mandela effect as much as I wanted to, George. People like Mike are living proof that, man, something is going on out there.
Really? I mean, it is absolutely bizarre, isn't it?
It is. It's one of the more bizarre things that I've come across. And, I mean, I've seen witch doctors levitate, and I've seen crazy things, and this is right up there with it, George.
Valley Township, Pennsylvania, Steve's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Steve, go ahead.
Hi, George. Steve here.
Hi.
Your sanity? My sanity, I should say.
Yes, sir.
Question for Jeffrey, and it combines a couple other things with the Mandela effect.
Yes, sir, Steve.
Getting back and forth in realities. And deja vu. Now, deja vu is a dream that most people don't remember that they dreamt it. They just have a feeling of deja vu. I am able to tap into dreams and know when I'm in a dream. I explained that to you in the past.
Yes, lucid dreaming. That's right.
Lucid dreaming. Great.
Now, I've had experiences with deja vu and lucid dreams combined where I've seen the outcomes of certain situations, good ones and bad outcomes. And when these deja vu feelings come over me, I know what the outcome is going to be. And I'm able to change the outcome because I know what happened in my dream. Now, I don't know if I'm tapping into a different dimension. Being in a dream state, you're at a higher level of consciousness.
Well, what do you think of that, Jeffrey?
Yeah, George, I'm sitting here pinching myself because this is kind of a deja vu for me. You know, I don't know Steve, never heard of Steve. I'm so glad that you called up tonight, Steve. But I have actually, over the last week, been pondering that very same thing. Someone had mentioned, I heard it somewhere, just a little snippet of, they thought that deja vu was us slipping or having some type of a contact with one of our other selves in some parallel universe. And I promise you, Steve, as I'm sitting here, that I was thinking to myself, if there are parallel universes and if there are parallel Jeffs and George and Steves in those other universes, how could we learn to maximize our moments and our productivity and our efficiency in this universe by leveraging our energies, ourselves across other universes? And this is exactly what you're talking about. And Steve, I don't know if we're both crazy, but I think our trains are running on the same track. That's absolutely fascinating, my friend.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll take final phone calls with Jeffrey Doherty. Jeffrey, give out your website. Spell it for us.
Absolutely. My website is jeffreydaugherty.com. That's JeffreyDaugherty. You can also find me on Twitter at unindoctrinate. And I'd really appreciate it if you'd go to my YouTube, Jeffrey Daugherty, and subscribe so you can keep track of the research and the videos that we're making. And thank you so much for that opportunity, George.
Absolutely. So we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we will take your final phone calls. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and do follow us on Twitter as well. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And don't forget, tomorrow I'm on my way to New Orleans for the hosting of an Oswald conference. All that information is at coasttocoastam.com. Come on by. I'd love to see you. Been a long time since I've been down in New Orleans. Last time I was there, I was with the Navy, and had quite a time down there, that's for sure. Jeffrey Doherty with us, our final segment, and your calls, too, as well. Jeffrey, once again, I want to thank you now before we sign off later on this hour for the work you do.
You know, George, I was just sitting here during the break shaking my head at the amazing get it level of the people that listen to this show.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
There really is nothing else and nowhere else like Coast to Coast. I'm so glad that you folks are there, and please keep doing what you're doing. And it's always a singular pleasure for me to be asked to be on with you.
We will keep doing it, Jeffrey. And you're right. This, this audience fuels the direction of this program, and they are good, man. They are sharp. They are on it. And they question, they probe, they know what they're talking about.
And some of them have a pretty good right cross every now and then.
Yes, they do. Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Frank, you're up.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
Hi there.
Mr. Daugherty, are you familiar with the British actor Sir Stanley Baker?
Frank, I have to admit that I'm not. I'm sorry.
All right. He's a world-renowned British actor. I read his obituary, and he's officially deceased now, but I read his obituary, and then 2 years later, he's being interviewed on TV. And George, did you just announce that Jack Palance is still alive?
No, he's dead now. But when he was alive, everybody had him killed off, Frank.
Add me to that number, because I saw his death reported at the bottom of the CNN, at the bottom, you know, at the bottom of the
their crawl.
Yeah, and that was 2 years before he was still alive. That was 2 years before I realized he was still alive. All right, and the
you're obviously an articulate, intelligent guy. How do you explain that?
The actor, I know his name as well as I know my own name. The black actor that starred with John Wayne in the Cowboys.
Oh gosh, I'll get his name. I'll get his name, but same thing with him?
Yeah, same thing with him. I read his obituary, but he was still alive. He came on TV announcing his next movie and what he thought of John Wayne, this, that, and the other. But I also wanted to ask you one question about prophecy. A lady, when she I told the three children, Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucy.
By the way, that was Roscoe Lee Brown. That was his name, wasn't it?
Right, Roscoe Lee Brown. Right, I should have never forgotten that. But when she announced to the children, look to the sky, and they were horrified, what do you think they saw? Asteroid the size of Texas or nuclear launches? Well, what do you think they saw?
You know what, Frank, that's a great question, and that's something that I have studied. And the conundrum with that passage is that when you get into, I'm a big text guy, when you get into the text and you break it down, it doesn't really give you any definitive answer. And Frank, my thought is that when they looked up, that they witnessed some type of a prophetic event. I think it was probably a vision that they saw, and of course from the text we can see that it was, you know, a very deeply troubling and perhaps even horrific vision. I think you're exactly on the right track, and that's just one of those things, Frank, that we just don't know the exact answer to.
I wonder if under the Mandela effect, if somebody has truly died, do they do the reverse and everybody talks about them still being alive? Does that ever happen?
You know, you think it would, George, and I've even read some extreme cases where, and I don't know if these are the veracity of them, but they, you know, my wife is a different person, my husband is a different person, and, you know, I don't know, George, you know, with guys like, you know, Frank and Mike, you know, intelligent, articulate people, and we're just hearing more and more of this, I am more convinced that there is something going on. Of course, the what's going on is open to a lot of conjecture and discussion, but man, just a real eye-opening program tonight.
I go annually to an event called Contact in the Desert. It's in Joshua Tree, California. This year, and it was held over my birthday this time in June. And this year when I was out there, and Jeffrey, this is unbelievable. I very rarely have cases of deja vu. Very rare. I had seven bouts of deja vu. It kept coming back. I mean, it was as strange as anything I've ever felt. I mean, no matter what I did,
George?
What's that?
In just a weekend?
In just one day. Wherever I went, I had that feeling of deja vu. It kept coming. I said, here I go. I know what this person's going to say. And they said it. Or I'd go someplace else and I'd say, oh my gosh, this, I know what kind of car is going to come driving by. And this car drives by out there in Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree. It was absolutely strange. It was so weird, I was beginning to think, you know what? Is something going on in my head? Have I had a stroke? What's happening? Seven bouts of deja vu. Could your location, because there's got to be something there, mystical, ley lines, who knows what, could that affect that?
I think it absolutely could, George, and that's exactly what was going on in my mind as you were discussing that. You know, I was just thinking after the show, I want to look at, you know, Joshua Tree, you know, see what the ley lines are there, see if there's any, you know, reported, you know, type of portals or anything in that area. And, you know, a lot of, you know, Southern California area, there's been, from Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard through a lot of people, there's been a lot of, you know, spiritual, paranormal, unexplained activity there. And, you know, you, George, you know, much more in tune than the average bear, I could see where if you get in those type of areas that those things could really open up on you and explode on you as they did there in Joshua Tree.
Mike is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on our wild card line. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, George, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thanks. And, glad you got through.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. My question to Jeffrey is, had you heard in the Bible where it talked about in Genesis, it talked about the Nephilim? And I know that a lot of the talk about the Nephilim, it talks about the giants that end up becoming later what people will say that Goliath and his brothers, that they were part of the Nephilim.
Right.
And what I wanted to ask about that is that the missing book of Enoch that was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, it explained a lot of that. Have you ever read anything dealing with the book of Enoch, where it talks, where it goes a little bit more into detail? It actually talks about some of the things that maybe the Nephilim is, and all the conspiracy, the things dealing with alien phenomena, I believe is connected to a lot of that to some degree. Those are some of the stories that I've heard. And then it's another thing where they talk about the great deception that will take place, that a lot of people will be deceived that aliens are actually aliens are disguised as people that come from another planet to help, but they're actually demonic presence or spirits that are deceiving, and it's preparing preparing things for what's going on with the end times. It seems like when I was listening to you earlier that you were saying that the Antichrist, you don't believe that the actual person of the Antichrist is going to come. And I'm looking at the things that's going on in, politically, and all the corruption that's going on in politics. It seems like it's a real grand delusion that's going on, because it seems like our nation is so split that it seems like one half of the people, they accept like corruption, and it seems like they don't care about things that look wrong and evil, and they still embrace these things. And then you have another group of people who I would consider to be Judeo-Christian type people who believe the exact opposite. And it's almost like it's a warning, like something, like you said earlier, something big is about to happen.
Oh yeah.
It seems like we're on the verge of things just getting ready to break loose.
We feel that. But your thoughts on the Nephilim, Jeffrey?
You know, I was immediately reminded of our common friend, George, Scotty Roberts, who did an excellent work on the Nephilim and has talked with you on the show a couple of times about it. And, you know, I think that, you know, Mike is, you know, doesn't have to feel like the Lone Ranger. There's a lot of people that do, you know, see correlations along the lines of what he's talking about. And just to his point, I do believe that there is definitely an Antichrist entity. I believe there's, you know, very specific Antichrist being. And I do believe that Antichrist is doing, you know, everything he, she, it can. But I just believe that from the scriptures and from the words of Jesus or Yeshua, that we can defeat him, and that he ultimately will not be victorious. And that, you know, I've read the last page in the book, George, and I'm convinced that we win.
Well, I think we're going to win in the long run, too. I think it's going to be a bumpy road to get there, though. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I remember somebody telling me it's impossible to climb a smooth mountain. So we do need, you know, the occasional jut and bump and crack in our lives to help us grow and develop. I don't think it's any different in our spiritual life. And I would totally agree with you. And I just don't think it's the doom and gloom, scary future that a lot of big time religion, as I call it, likes to paint for us. I choose to believe what Yeshua said, that he left us with his peace. He doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And he's given us a way, some very simple ways to follow and live by that are going to lead to life and that more abundantly.
How come we don't have giants here anymore?
Isn't that a great question? Why don't we have giants here anymore?
I guess where'd they go?
The answer is they died in the flood, but I don't know, George. Were they really giant as far as stature, or were they giant in power or ability? Were they giant energetically?
Maybe
where
both.
Where did they go, George?
They're gone. Gone. Let's go next to Michael in Hemet, California. First-time caller. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi, Mike.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
Good to speak to you.
You too.
Actually had 2 points I was hoping to touch on. The first was, I am an experiencer of the Mandela effect. I didn't go looking for it. I actually, the JFK video, the Zapruder film was what turned me on to it. A lot of people think there were 4 people in the car. It turns out in this reality, there were 6.
Wow.
But what I really wanted to touch on was, to me, the most fascinating element of it is the term flipbacks, which a lot of us have experienced, which there will be a Mandela effect example, which after a couple weeks, a couple months, kind of reverts. And you seem to be under the belief that there's a intelligent kind of being behind the Mandela effect. And I was just wondering if that's the case, what the purpose of these flipbacks would be.
All right, Jeffrey, there's something you had alluded to earlier, that the Mandela effect could be created by some entities.
Right, George. And what Daniel says in his prophecy is that the Mandela effect and these events, that specifically exactly like Michael is talking about, are created and are being created to suppress and prevent the disclosure of great spiritual knowledge, great technological knowledge, great scientific knowledge. And I believe there is an entity out there that wants to keep these things from coming to bear, because the more light we get, the more enlightened we get, the more information we get, the more that we improve. And I think that's certainly true in the spiritual sense. And certainly, I would think if we could get some disclosure for, you know, free energy and, you know, medical technology, that would be great too. And I was thinking the same thing Michael was thinking when you were talking about going to New Orleans for the Oswald event, that the JFK is one of those central pieces in this whole Mandela effect.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. As Oswald had said, he was a patsy. I'm convinced of that. The more research I continue to do, the more I realize JFK was killed in a conspiracy by a lot of people, including the mob. But Jeffrey, I want to thank you for being on the program. You keep in touch with us. Anytime you want on, you get a hold of Lisa, but you are one of the best. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.